welcome to All Steelers Talk, your home for everything Pittsburgh Steelers, presented by AllSteelers.com.
Hello and welcome, lovely ladies and lovely gents, to another episode of All Steelers Talk. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube at All Steelers Talk. Check out us on Twitter at NoseTrack, at Donnie Druin. Donnie, the Pittsburgh Steelers are looking bad.
Yeah,
I don't even have
not great.
Don't even have a lot of words to put it. I don't have a lot of ways to phrase it besides that they look terrible. I have never personally seen a Steelers team look this bad in my whole life. I don't want to ask, can it get better? I don't want to ask, can it get worse? I just want to know how you're feeling. It's Tuesday. Tomlin talked. It didn't go well. How are you feeling? How are you doing? How's life?
I never would have thought I would have seen the day where, one, the Steelers just get blown out by the Bengals. Was it 41-10? Was that the final score? 41-10. And then afterwards, they're talking to Joe Burrow, Joey B, in the press conference. Man says, we're 2-0 versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. We have higher aspirations than beating the Steelers. Noah. We grew up watching the same Steelers team. I never would have thought I would have heard that come out of a Cincinnati Bengals player's mouth. Ever.
No. Not even Joe Burrow's. We went through the Carson Palmer days, the Chad Ochocinco days, the linebacker is, the Von Berfick days. Nobody once said we have higher aspirations than beating the Pittsburgh Steelers. You want to know what they said? Yeah, we want to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. And most times they didn't do it. It's a very bad look for the Steelers. I think this was the beginning, but like we've been saying it for a long time. At some point, every NFL team has to go through this we suck phase. It's got to go through the rebuild, whether that's a long rebuild or a short rebuild. Unfortunately, getting spanked by the Cincinnati Bengals is likely the trigger that goes, okay, this is where this starts. Hopefully it ends sooner rather than later, but man, this is not a good place to be.
Nah, not at all. And that's even after the game. I mean, I feel like Joey B probably could have just stopped in the middle of the game and looked right up to the sky camera they have and said that, and we'd all be like, yeah, true.
Yeah, we're here. This is we're all watching the same game. We got it. Thanks there, Joey B. Appreciate you. Before we jump into Chase Claypool coming up with the worst idea ever to improve the Pittsburgh Steelers, I just want to ask, I want to get your opinions on guys like Ben and Cam staying in for the game and then Pat Freiermuth getting hurt on that touchdown pass. To me, that makes no sense.
Yeah, no, not at all. And if I forgot who brought this up on Twitter, but it was a really good point. If you're keeping Ben in the game whenever, you know, you're down by that many scores, you think you probably have a chance to win, right?
Yeah.
So why? Like, why is Ben in the game at that point? And I think you had brought it up. How are you not going to live in your fears and then punt whenever you're down by 3 possessions? Like, it does not make sense. Them still being in the game at that point, nonsense. Like,
nonsense. It goes back to those tie perfectly together, because if you're going to punt the ball in the fourth quarter or the third quarter or whenever, when you're down 25 points, but you're going to keep your starters in until the last second, that doesn't make – those contradict each other completely. Mike Tomlin has done this a couple of times this season where I've looked at him and said, Mike, dude, you're letting your ego get the best of you. Look, it's not a good look. It's a very, very bad look for the people that don't like him. And that's a lot of people.
I think we've done a really good job of defending Tomlin on this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
We're both very pro Tomlin. Whenever he was asked about it, I thought it was really interesting of why he kept the starters in. He said, we needed the work. Mike, bro, you're not getting anything done in that time frame that you think you are. Like, that work needs to happen Monday through Friday in the film room, the weight room, and on the practice field. Like, you're not going to get anything done. Cut your losses, go into the rest of the season healthy, and then look what happened. I mean, this happened a couple weeks ago with Deontay Johnson getting hurt and at the end of a meaningless game. Now Pat Freiermuth is in the same boat.
Yeah, it's Pat Freiermuth, which that loss is huge, and you can't justify it. Zero justification for it. Deontay Johnson almost got hurt again on the final play of the game. And if that happened at that moment, Mike Tomlin has now injured Deontay Johnson once, Chris Boswell on a stupid play call, Pat Freiermuth, and then Deontay Johnson a second time. At that point, you're thinking maybe Mike Tomlin should stop making decisions that are just trying to look good in the heat of the moment. Maybe Mike Tomlin should stop trying to make decisions that when the team is down this bad or back against the wall, stop trying to fight your way out of it with cheap shots and just accept a loss every once in a while. That's got to happen. I don't know if that could. I think Mike Tomlin's fighting for everything he has to keep that winning record alive. And, like, honestly, I think the more and more it goes on, I think he deserves to have a losing record at the end of the season. It's pretty bad.
I can appreciate that, because a lot of head coaches, you know, in that kind of game, in this kind of season, would roll over, you know. Thus, whenever that happens, you know, a lot of the players in the locker room would roll over. It didn't sound like a lot of Steelers were really pleased with what happened on Sunday. It really sounded like they wanted to kind of fix things. Whenever TJ Watt says, you know, their player's embarrassing, you know something's up. Like, you know something's got to change when old Moneybags is talking about, hey, like, we can't play like this. This is embarrassing.
And, you know, it is Cam Hayward
basically echoed the same thing. Big Ben basically echoed the same thing.
Yeah.
So I thought it was interesting, because last week we talked about Mike Tomlin was asked if he gives his input on, like, play calls. And he said, quote, "I give more than my input." It's like, okay, well, like, you could be a little bit more hands-on, then you got to start taking a lot more responsibility.
Yeah, exactly. That is the thing. And Mike Tomlin does take a lot of responsibility, but he kind of brushes things off to the side. Like, oh, this is, you know, we did this because, you know, the guys needed this to happen. It's like, nah, dude, that was a bad move. That was 100% on you. You make a lot of bad moves. Not a ton throughout your career. A lot of them this season. A lot of very questionable moves. And please don't take this as, The Pittsburgh Steelers should not fire Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin is one of the best coaches in the NFL. He remains one of the best coaches in the NFL. I think he's having a hard time adjusting to the fact that the Pittsburgh Steelers need to be very bad for a little while in order to be very good again one day. That happens with a lot of coaches. I get that some of them handle it better than others, but I mean, dude, Bill Belichick told half his team last year, go on the COVID list, take the year off, get that $350,000, enjoy it at home, come back next year, we'll put Cam Newton at quarterback for a year, we'll really suck it up, and then we're going to go win a Super Bowl with Mac Jones. That's what he did, and it worked out beautifully, absolutely beautifully. Mike Tomlin needs to do a little bit of the same.
Dude, what a chess move that was, by the way. Just like everybody laughing at Bill Belichick saying, oh, like, Tom Brady is definitely the better out of the duo. Tom Brady this, Tom Brady that. The Patriots suck, and the Bill Belichick's in the shadows, bro. Just waiting. Knowing he was 17 moves in front of everybody else.
And the whole time, he was just like, yeah, man, Cam, go ahead. Go have fun. Do you think you want to resurrect your career?
He's in the back alley, like, smoking a cigarette while all this is going on, and people just laughing, just like flicks it, and he's like, "You guys just wait,
dude." Mike Tomlin's beard is going to be totally gray by the end of the season. Bill Belichick didn't age a drop in a bad year. He was just like, "Yeah, man, whatever. It is what it is. This is easy. If anything, this is my off year. We're chilling." Moving on to bad moves, because, you know, if Bill Belichick is the bar of good moves, this is the bar for bad moves. Chase Claypool was asked because, and there has to be context behind this, because it can't just be Chase Claypool said practice should be more fun. Obviously, players have said it over the last 2 weeks that practice needs to be a bigger priority. Mm-hmm. Minka said it on Monday during a Zoom call. He said, this is what we need to do. And he even said, he's like, this is my own opinion. I haven't shared this with the team yet, but a lot of guys before him have already said, like, yo, practice needs to be better. We need to straighten up in practice. So Chase Claypool was asked, what can you do to make practice better? And he responded with, we have music in the warmups, and that, so it's fun. People are dancing, having fun. So I think maybe music would make practice more fun and a little bit more up tempo. To which Mike Tomlin responded with this.
Mike Claypool suggested yesterday that we'd like to have more fun at practice, maybe play some music. I'm suggesting we're not going to oblige his request. Well, you know, Claypool plays wild out, and I'll let him do that. I'll formulate the practice approach, and I think that division of labor is probably appropriate.
I laugh every time I hear that. Every single time I've heard that, I have died laughing. That is Mike Tomlin literally just slapped Claypool right in the back of the head. Just like, what are you even talking? Go catch a football. What are you doing?
That was the nicest way I've ever seen anybody tell another human being to piss off.
Yeah, in the whole grand scheme of, if this ends all poorly for Chase Claypool and his journey with the Steelers ends poorly, that will be on the highlight tape. There's no doubt. It's going to be a bunch of drops, a bunch of videos of him falling over, and then Mike Tomlin saying, yeah, maybe you should just play wide receiver. Oh, I got practice. Don't worry about it. It's okay.
I will say, now that you gave us the background on that question, though, hearing whoever asked that question kind of like, hey, like Chase Claypool said, music at practice would be more fun. Are you going to oblige to the request? I don't think that helped at all.
No, it didn't. But I will say this. Cam Hayward heard the whole thing before Mike Tomlin did. Like, he heard the question and it all. And the question was like genuine. It was like, hey, like people have talked about improving practice. How do you believe practice would be improved? And he said that. And Cam Hayward came out and said, like, fun. Why are we fun? What are we talking about? Yeah, fun. We need to focus on the X's and O's, not music. So this is, I get that, like, you know, the question, I don't know if you could really like lay out the whole thing.
Yeah, I feel like there's not minutes. A whole lot of like dressing you could put on that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you'd have to really take up a decent amount of time with that microphone in your hand before, like, and then Tomlin would say the same thing. He'd be like, oh, well, he's a wide receiver and I'm the head football coach, so I got it. Don't worry. Thanks.
You know, I will say the Arizona Cardinals practice with music and they have the league's best record. Granted, two different trajectories of where the teams are going right now.
Yeah. That here's the other thing. The Pittsburgh Steelers have never practiced with music. It is just a thing that does not happen. That I've heard stories. What?
Do you mean they're there to work?
They're there to work. They're there to work. They're not there to listen to music.
Okay.
What I've heard stories of guys playing music. Ryan Shazier, actually, this is a good one. I know a story of Ryan Shazier was playing music or something at practice. He had a big boom box. And Troy Polamalu was doing something, talking to somebody, and said, oh, excuse me, one second. Walked over to the boom box and just shut it off and then walked back over. And that was it. They didn't play practice. Shazier never touched the boom box again. There was no practice. Ben Roethlisberger has been known to come out and shut off music during practice when he hears it, even when he's not practicing. Like, it is not a music place. And like, maybe that's just Steel City. I get that. I think the biggest issue here, or the bigger issue here, is the fact that Claypool's like, oh, we got to make things more fun. Do you find that to be a bad approach to this? I could kind of see maybe it could be a good thing if you're looking for it from that perspective.
So I think Claypool is cut from a different cloth than what a lot of Steelers players are. I think guys like Cam Hayward, Big Ben, all of the people you just named. That's kind of who he is at this point. You know, I've seen a lot of Juju comparisons over the last couple of days with their personalities. Juju shows up. Juju produces. Juju is what you want out of a wide receiver. And granted, Chase Claypool has still a lot of time left in his career. However, up to this point, has very rarely shown that flash in the pan of what he could possibly be. And is more notorious for running his mouth, dropping passes, being a 6'5" wide receiver, and not being able to use his body for contested catches. Getting flags thrown on him, whatever else you could possibly name that he has done off the field, kind of outweighs his production on the field. So to hear that coming from a younger guy like that probably doesn't sit well with Tomlin, which is why he answered like that. Probably doesn't sit well with guys in a locker room, the leaders, and probably doesn't sit well with everybody listening to this right now.
Yeah, probably not. I will say this, and I'm not going to say this is confirmed or anything, but I've heard through the grapevine that there are some people in the Steelers locker room that are not particularly fond with how Chase Claypool conducts himself overall. I've heard that, you know, Obviously, there was the whole fight and Minka at practice situation where you could put that on whoever you want. It's never good. It's never a good look. And I Minka is about as hard of a worker as anybody I've ever met. So
didn't
it's
we
hard
establish
to say.
That Minka kind of gave him a two-piece combo?
Minka smoked him, dude. All right. Minka 10-pieced him to the jaw. Nearly ripped a dread out of his head. It was bad.
That builds character is what that does.
Yeah, it didn't build much, apparently. And you're right. Like it goes back. Like Chase Claypool is constantly running his mouth. When you're down 31 points, you don't get a penalty for unsportsmanlike conduct. I don't care how mad you are at that moment in the game. That's not what you do. It goes a long way. You see Chase Claypool talk to the media, and I get that a lot of people don't like the media. I am the media. You are the media. This is our job. You know what I mean? And you could tell a lot about a guy who sits there and even when things aren't going well, has a good conversation with you. Chase Claypool's always just been a 3-4-word answer, get me out of here, I don't really care about you type dude. Straight from the jump. I've heard things about him from Notre Dame about how his attitude is real salty and that he didn't really get along with everybody. I've heard sources from all over the place saying that Chase Claypool is not as good of a hardworking football player as he may appear to be as a 6'5 athlete. And I think that the play after his unsportsmanlike conduct when he dropped the football is a prime example that you can't run your mouth until you can catch a football correctly. That's like the rule of the NFL. I don't care how big you are. You drop a football, you don't talk. And that's what he does.
Oh, I thought it was funny because I went through his timeline on Twitter after the game. And he doesn't tweet a lot anymore for whatever weird reason during a Steelers losing streak. He's not exactly tweeting a lot, which is good, I guess. But one of the last tweets that he had was whenever it was him in front of the Cleveland fans and said, "All bark, no bite."
All bark, no bite. Man, yeah, that's real ironic.
What a
huh?
Phenomenal catch.
Wow. Catch. That's terrible, actually. That is terrible. So I can't believe you're the first person to point that out. Like, people should have retweeted that the second he dropped the football. You should have retweeted it the second he dropped the football. All bark. That's basically who he is. Is it too early to start making up with these things, though? Is it too early to say, like, yo, Chase Claypool isn't all that he's chalked up to be? But at the same time, it's not like he hasn't played. Like, he has been a significant part of this offense for 2 years.
Yeah, and I feel like there's obviously still judgment to be reserved, you know, because, you know, granted, a couple things haven't gone his way. We haven't seen him with a prime good quarterback throwing to him. We haven't seen that quarterback have a good offensive line. But just from the looks that we have seen with Chase Claypool, I mean, think about it like this. Granted, they're two different players, but I mean, Deontay Johnson has exceeded expectations with the same quarterback that is throwing Chase Claypool the ball, you know? And there's been a lot of times where Big Ben will sometimes try to force something to Chase Claypool, and it just won't work. It just won't work. And we saw Ben do that with Antonio Brown a lot, but Antonio Brown came down with those catches. Big Ben loves finding reliable receivers. Deontay Johnson, for as much flack as he has caught last year with all his dropped passes, worked through the offseason, is clearly established himself with or without a healthy Juju Smith-Schuster as the Steelers' top receiving priority.
Yep.
Deontay Johnson's going to get paid next
offseason.
Oh, gosh. Like, he's going to get paid. Chase Claypool might not see through his contract in Pittsburgh. I don't know.
See, that's what I kind of feel the same way. Like, he's got – we've hit a critical point where Chase Claypool needs to be that top dog right now. You know what I mean? Yeah. Deontay Johnson's obviously the number one wide receiver, but there always needs to be a Juju Smith-Schuster, a Mike Wallace to that Antonio Brown or that Deontay Johnson. That needs to be Chase Claypool. And all he's showing this year is that the Steelers are a lot better with Juju Smith-Schuster working alongside Deontay Johnson than Chase Claypool working along side Deontay Johnson. That is concerning. I mean, there is room for growth, and I get that. And you know, Deontay Johnson had his drop problems last season, and he came back and he played exceptionally well. And I don't even know if I'm allowed to say this or not, but after practice, Deontay Johnson is on the field a lot, like a lot. In the meantime, my computer just like literally exploded and then came back. At the meantime, Chase Claypool
streaming.
Nowhere to be found. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, you see those guys. Najee Harris is a guy that's always, always on the field after practice. And Deontay Johnson's the same way. Chase Claypool, I mean, that says a lot to me. Always has.
I think the big problem is that not even the expectations. Like, you see the 6'5 frame. You see the speed he has for his size. You see how he's built. Like, there's a lot of expectations with being drafted as high as he was. Because at least for me, I didn't see him being drafted early second round. I definitely thought he was going to be a third round guy. I mean, and then, do you remember whenever they drafted him, there was talk of them moving him to tight end? Can you imagine?
No, that was me. So when he came out of the NFL draft, or for the NFL draft, people started talking like Chase Claypool might be too big to play wide receiver. He might have to play tight end.
Well,
then he ran a 4.3.
He worked out with the tight ends at the NFL Combine, if you remember that. And then that's where the talk really started to pick up.
Oh, he'd be there's no chance, dude. There's zero chance. But at the same time, I mean, Derek put out a good article the other day on whether or not Chase Claypool's a boom or bust. And he kind of noticed that, like, maybe Chase would work better if he moved around a little bit more instead of just playing that deep threat type guy. At the same time, dude, Mapletron, your name is Mapletron. Megatron ran one route straight down the field, and every single time he came up with the ball, every single time. If you're going to have that name, if you're going to have that big chain on your chest, if you're going to sell the shirts, the whole nine, you got to back it up. And you don't, and he doesn't. And we've hit the point where, for one, Mapletron's got to go. Mapletron does not exist anymore. There is no Mapletron on the football field until you catch a football. Two, honestly, Chase Claypool shouldn't be posting anything on Twitter, nothing. And I'm usually not this harsh about players. Three, he should be the last guy I practice every single day. Because if he thinks that being 6'4", 235 pounds is going to carry him in the NFL, it's not. There are a lot of guys who play really good football who are not as physically equipped as you are. It comes back to bite you in the butt.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you think if he kept quiet, he stuck to himself, didn't cause a whole lot of ruckus, but he was still producing the same, do you think he would be catching this much flack?
I think he'd still be catching slack. There's no doubt.
Like this much, though?
But this much, not a chance. I mean, okay. You could just look at Deontay Johnson last year. There was a lot of Steelers fans that were like, dude, Deontay Johnson sucks. He needs to go.
And then
there was it was a bad year. Players have bad years, but that's what I'm saying. When you magnify yourself this much with other things that's not your play, it's all going to look at, this is how bad I'm playing. Deontay Johnson was not good on the football field, didn't say a word, didn't speak, nothing, came back this following season. Now he hasn't dropped a pass. You know what I mean? It's a different type of situation. You're always going to catch slack. You're an NFL player. You have more lights on you than anybody else out there. You don't need more. And I think that's the problem here is Chase is always looking for more. Always looking for more. And it's not good. Moving on from Chase Claypool to hopefully some good news about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mike Tomlin has said twice now in the last like 3 or 4 days that changes will be made to this Steelers team. After the game on Sunday, he said straight up, the trenches are getting changed. We're going to see some things. Henry Mondu got moved to the first string nose tackle on the depth chart today. Do we see any other changes coming for the Steelers anytime soon?
Zach Banner, question mark?
I don't know. That would be my guess, right? Is Zach Banner moving to that starting right tackle?
Something's got to change up front, because whenever you got Trey Turner and J.C. Hasenauer, we're running into each other, both thinking that they're pulling on a play. Yeah.
Yeah. Not B.J. Good. Finney, but yeah.
B.J. Finney, my bad.
That's all right. That's how low we are right now on the depth chart. That's how bad the Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line is. But you're right. And I think that's the only option. It's got to be Zach Banner. Like, what else are you going to do? You going to put Joe Haig at left guard? Maybe. That might not be a bad idea until Kevin Dotson comes back. But I don't know. I mean, has Chooks played that bad the past couple of games?
No, but he also hasn't played that good either. And I was just thinking about this the other day because I saw Derek going back and forth with somebody on Twitter about like the rebuilding the Steelers offensive line. Dude, it can't be done in one offseason. And that's why I was really wanting the team to kind of hammer down the focus of building the trenches this year and then kind of, you know, polish it up next year to year after and kind of move out from there. Dude, Kendrick Green has been so up and down this year. Dan Moore has been too, but I don't think we expected Dan Moore to, you know, continually be a starter at this point in his career. So I'm trying to give him a little bit more time whenever it comes to, you know, adjusting to the NFL as a fourth round pick. Trey Turner, clearly not the dude who made the Pro Bowl, whatever year with the Chargers.
What, he suffered three injuries in 2 years or something? Like, we all kind of knew that was going to be just like a gap piece. Like, a man, David DeCastro really would have been nice right now.
Oh, yeah. BJ Finney, whatever. JC Hasenauer, whatever. You know, Chooks not moving the needle. Zach Banner, we haven't even seen him play this year, not moving the needle. Whole lot of not great stuff to love, and that's going to really come back to bite you whenever you have a guy not named Big Ben Roethlisberger throwing the football for you next year.
Yeah, and I agree. I don't think that they have options on where to move, but I'm kind of glad you went there, because I'd rather go that direction than just what changes could happen, because I don't think many changes could happen. I think Henry Mondu could start at nose tackle on defense. I think maybe Isaiah Loudermilk plays a little bit more. I don't know. I think there's no really options there. And then on offense, you suck unless you're going to move BJ Finney to center and put Kendrick Green at guard, which doesn't make any sense.
I wouldn't be opposed to it at this
point. I wouldn't either, but it doesn't make the offensive line better.
Not at all.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't. There's no point in doing that right now when you're still trying to keep this season alive. And the question is, and I think a lot of people are going to start asking this very, very soon, is that if the Pittsburgh Steelers have a pretty good draft pick, I personally believe offensive line is where you go over a quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger or no Ben Roethlisberger. Next year is going to suck. The Pittsburgh Steelers are not going to be a good football team next year. And that's good. But that's what I'm saying. But next year, there's like a possibility that they
pick on a running back.
There's a possibility that the Pittsburgh Steelers win four games next season, and that's the best case scenario. Like, that's what they want to happen. That's what everyone should want to happen. They should finish dead last in the NFL next year, get the first pick in the draft, go get whatever crazy quarterback had the best season in college football next year. Maybe Spencer Rattler at Arizona State, Donnie Druin's breaking the news. Maybe this year, go finish your offensive line.
That's what they should have done. That's what they should have done during the draft.
But I think it's okay that they didn't do it this year. I think that they put enough pieces together. It was a bad idea for what their end goal was. But now that we're here and it's not working out, it's like good. You're just like, yeah, cool, man. Keep losing. That's fine. That's whatever. Let Ben beat the Browns in week 16 or 17 or whatever. Let him go off beating the Browns, and then the Steelers finish like 6-10-1.
It only does good if you capitalize on what you're given. The Steelers did not capitalize on what they were given in the first round. Najee Harris, phenomenal person. I am so happy he's a Steeler. It's just a tremendous guy inside and out. Great running back. If and when he does get an offensive line in front of him, stupendous. Dude's already on pace to break the Steelers' single-season record for amount of touches in a year, held by Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
They like him a lot. But there's going to be no protection for Big Ben or whoever else's quarterback, probably missing Rudolph. Najee is still not going to have an offensive line in front of him. And you can't make these generational offensive lines in one offseason. The Steelers offensive line that we saw with Pouncey, DeCastro, all those other guys, that wasn't done in one offseason. It was slowly built over the course of time. Do you think everybody's waving their terrible towels whenever David DeCastro was picked number one? No. No.
That's Marcus Pouncey. I love that you said that. I get texts constantly from people that are like, yeah, like, I want an offensive lineman, but I want a quarterback. Like, you need a quarterback. The Steelers don't have to be bad next season. It's like, yeah, they do. Stop pushing off the inevitable. Every football team is bad at some point in existence. That's just how it works. You can't always be good. That doesn't happen. It's a money-based league. You have to pay guys, and eventually that money runs out. And then those players run out. And then you got to do it again. And that's okay. That's what the NFL is about. The Pittsburgh Steelers have done this time and time again. And here they are. They're ready to do it again. Ben Roethlisberger he did what he was supposed to do. He let him here. He won two Super Bowls. It was a great career. great job. The offensive line, they did what they were supposed to do at one point. We're probably the best offensive line in the in football. The Steelers said, okay, look it, we all stink. Let's go get our offensive line pieces. I think Dan Moore Jr. is going to be good in the next 2 years. I think that Kendrick Green is going to be really good at some point in his career, whether it's next year at center or next year at guard. You go out and get one more piece. You pray that Kevin Dotson turns out to be what Kevin Dotson should turn out to be. You pray that Zach Banner is a football player and is good enough to get on the football field at some point in his 2 years under contract. And there you go. You got an offensive line. The problem, the only thing that stopped the Pittsburgh Steelers from this rebuild, and or at least tried to stop the Pittsburgh Steelers from this rebuild, was Ben Roethlisberger. That was it. And I don't think he couldn't do it. Obviously, they're 5-5-1. They're not getting any better. If anything, they're getting drastically worse by the day. He tried. The Steelers tried. I get it. It was a bad effort to try. I think that you wasted a lot of time. But just like you said, like, guys don't want that offense. People don't want that offensive lineman in the first round, that defensive tackle in the first round.
Exactly, no, dude.
There's no glare there.
Proven to work.
It's proven to work. Maurkice Pouncey and David Castro's do not come in the fourth round.
No.
They do not. Like, Kendrick Green is not the next Maurkice Pouncey. He's Kendrick Green. He's a third-round pick. Maurkice Pouncey was taken in the first round. Like, David Castro was taken in the first round. That's how you do this, like, time and time again.
And that's the thing. People don't like those picks, man. Najee Harris, sexy pick. Okay.
Great.
I hope he pans out. But going back to Chase Claypool was a sexy pick. It was not the right pick. It was not a good pick. It was a sexy pick.
Yep. The Steelers do love to make their sexy picks.
Yep.
They love to. And in the Mike Tomlin era, they really love to.
Yep.
You could say whatever you want about Mike Tomlin. That dude does not make many of his draft picks work out because he's always going after Flair. Always. The TJ Watts, they work out.
It's Kevin Colbert, too. I mean,
See, like, I agree with that, but disagree with that at the same time, because Colbert did it once. He built this team one time. He didn't get any sexy draft picks. He didn't go out and get anybody. Le'Veon Bell is a second-round pick. That was not a glamour pick. Ben Roethlisberger, you needed a quarterback, obviously, but eventually every team's got to pick a quarterback in the first round. He was a Maurkice Pouncey. He was David Castro. He was a Ziggy Hood. He was, you know, those guys, the Casey Hampton, those types of guys in the first round. Hines Ward's a third-round pick, you know. You look back and, like, these big-name stars for the Pittsburgh Steelers, late-round picks, mid-round to late-round picks. So I do agree that Kevin Colbert has to take as much blame as Mike Tomlin for this, but before Mike Tomlin, I don't know, man. It just seemed that you got what you needed, and nobody liked it. The NFL draft sucked growing up. It was super boring. Super boring. Every year you were like, man, I want that guy. Never happened.
Yep.
Never once happened. You're just like, I don't know who this guy is, but sounds good. Cam Hayward, dude. Cam Hayward's a prime example of that. Cam Hayward got picked, and people were like, I don't even know who this guy is. Like, Cam Hayward, cool. And then here we are, one of the greatest Pittsburgh Steelers of all time. So I don't know. Like, I think there was a switch there when Tomlin started kind of getting their input that we could probably track, and we should track one day. We should look at it a little bit more. I don't know, though. So it's very far ahead, but, you know, the Steelers get a top 15 draft pick. Do they take quarterback this season, or do they take an offensive lineman?
I think it all depends on who's going to be there. And I said that
if Kenny Pickett's on the board, are you going to take him,
bro?
If Kenny Pickett's on the board, pick 15.
No, I'm not taking him,
bro. But Kenny Pickett's got an arm. That's all everybody wants to tell me is Kenny Pickett's got the arm. Kenny Pickett could run the option with Najee Harris. He's a Pittsburgh guy. That's all I keep hearing, bro.
I love Yinzers. I'm gonna say I love Yinzers. Maybe whenever we dive into the draft a little bit more through the offseason, we start to form a little bit better opinions on these kind of guys. But just right now, no, I'm not taking Kenny Pickett top 15. Obviously, that can change. But
he's gonna go number one. Probably.
No.
Probably not. No. Probably not. All right. So you're the college football guy here. just before we head out here, give people some hope, just for those who, you know, listen to this whole thing and they're like, man, I hate knowing Donnie so much right now. 2023, it would be. Give me a quarterback that would come out that's that could be good and probably better than anybody in this draft class.
Spencer Rattler.
Oh, that's a good one, actually.
Spencer's he's the sexy name. He's still got a lot to work on before he goes into the NFL draft. DJ Uiagalelei out of Clemson kind of looks like the guy. I think everybody's clamoring over right now, CJ Stroud from Ohio State. He looks very, very good. Potentially Bryce Young from Alabama.
Oh, another good one.
Potentially.
Another good one. Yeah. Is so Caleb Williams eligible next year? 2 years.
No, Caleb Williams is a freshman. True freshman. I believe next year in 2023, he'll be.
Well, that's when it would be. So, it'd be the end of 2023, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So the 2024 draft, I believe he should be eligible.
Gotcha. Either way, though, all the names that you just named are probably better than anybody in this draft class, which people need to recognize. It's not about right now. Yeah, you think so over Matt Corral and those guys?
Corral's been kind of underwhelming down the stretch.
I was going to say, he definitely sunk a little bit the last couple of years or a couple of weeks.
Desmond Ridder has been like high and low sometimes. Malik Wills, who is somebody we're going to be seeing at the Senior Bowl, BT Dubs, he has hype around him, but I still kind of want to like hold my breath. I don't know. I didn't like Justin Herbert coming out, and that dude proves me wrong every single day. He steps onto a football field, so maybe I'm not the guy to be talking quarterbacks. But
very true.
And it feels like every year we say, oh, there's not like this many talented guys in the draft class, but next year, bro, let me tell you about next year. And then guys just always rise up to the top, and then we end up talking about them regardless. So
it is true. That's why I said, like, whoever like is that big name next year, that's who the Steelers get, because that's we don't know. You know what I mean? Baker Mayfield wasn't a first pick in the NFL draft. Justin Herbert wasn't above Tua Tagovailoa. That wasn't supposed to happen. You know, every year these things happen. Lamar Jackson should have been Lamar Jackson. You know what I mean? These things all the time happen, just like you said. But either way, it just kind of shows that like the Steelers have options and they don't need to rush this because next year is just going to be a little bit worse, and that's okay. We got to stick it through this. We just got to hunker down, wave the terrible towels, feel a little bit good about ourselves, come up with the victories that we could come up with, move on to the next year. And then when it happens again, the success will not be here. It'll be here. That's what you got to be looking for. Yep. Thank you. Oh, go ahead. Final thoughts.
I was just going to say, lock the guys up that you need for the long term. Guys you want to be here whenever you do get those pieces to the puzzle. And then whenever you do get those guys that you love, because more than anybody, the Steelers love building their draft. So, lock the guys up that you have now that you want to, that you see being here in the future. Go get the guys in the draft, and you kind of just got to roll the dice and hope it comes out in your favor.
As you do every year. TJ here, long-term. Minka probably here long-term. Deontay Johnson probably here long-term. You got two offensive linemen that just got here. 4 years on a rookie contract. There are plenty of names that you could go around. Najee Harris is another one. The Steelers have time to do this. They don't need to rush it for next season. I think we'll see more of that as time goes on. Like you said, when we get into draft talk, things will get crazy. Thank you, everybody, for jumping on to another episode of All Steelers Talk. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube at All Steelers Talk. Check us out on Twitter at Noah Schrack, at Donnie Droon, and we will see you on Thursday.